Have you ever been to a vineyard? I did years ago out in California. It was interesting. You could see how much work there was to getting a crop of grapes. The pruning and the care of the vineyard, it's like a little child that the owner keeps tabs on and keeps pruning and correcting and making it go right. In our readings today, we hear about vineyards. In the first reading, we hear about the Old Testament, about the people of Israel struggling on their journey to the promised land and often failed to live up to the covenant. They worshiped idols. They did things that were against the covenant. And so, through their own failures, they were doomed to be conquered and exiled. God let this vineyard go to seed. It produced no good fruit. They were taken into exile instead. And so they failed to live up to the covenant. But that's not the end of the story. Because then we hear in the gospel, another story of a vineyard owner who planted a vineyard and hired tenants to go and take care of the vineyard while he was gone on a journey. And what happened? Well, we hear the story that when he sent his servants to get the grapes and all at harvest time, they killed them. All of the ones that came, they killed them, they stoned them, they did all kinds of things. And finally, he sent his son, and they killed him too, expecting to take the harvest for themselves. And we know that's all about Jesus coming, the Son. God the Father being the vineyard owner, Jesus being the Son that finally came. And those ones that came before were the prophets and the kings. The first servants that came to get the harvest were the prophets and the kings of the Old Testament. And they were killed or went wrong. And so finally he sent his son, as we know, and he was killed as well on the cross. He was telling this story. It's important to know that he was telling this story to the elders and chief priests of the people, the leaders who were in fact the tenants who went wrong. They disobeyed the covenant. They were leading the people wrong. They led them astray by extreme rules and regulations that became more important than the covenant. And so he was talking to them, and he asked them, what do you think the owner did to them? Well, he came and he destroyed them. And Jesus said, that's going to happen to you if you don't change your heart. And so he was speaking directly to them. And they killed Jesus to protect their own interests, their own leadership and their own place in the Jewish community. And so instead of being there for God and following God and doing what was good for the community, they went the other way. And by extension, we look at the church. The church is the present vineyard. We are the present vineyard now. We are the vineyard of God. And the stronger the church witnesses the gospel and truth, the stronger this vineyard speaks up and lives according to the gospel values, the stronger the reactions. The witness of missionaries, think about that. How many of them are killed? This missionary from Oklahoma was just beatified. They killed him down in South America. He witnessed to the truth. He was one of the tenants, a good tenants, who witnessed to the truth. Mother Teresa is another good example. When she came to this country, you might remember Time magazine had a story on her, and they criticized her for not addressing systemic poverty instead of looking at the good she'd done. One person at a time, she said, that's my mission. When good people do good things and witness to the truth, very often people are hurt by that. People get abused and criticized, just like the prophets, the kings, just like Jesus himself. when we live the truth. The church sometimes is accused of bigotry and bias and when not going along with politically correct positions and statements. Then the church is criticized for that. And we hear that all the time. I just saw a show on TV the other day, Law and Order show, that criticized the church for a position. I've forgotten now the context of the story, but it was very noticeable to me. It even mentioned the Catholic Church. And the person who was in trouble went to confession and confessed a lot of sins over a long time. And the priest wasn't too sensitive. He gave her, she had to say 10 rosaries and 10 Our Fathers and had a fast for 4 days. I mean, what kind of an image of the church does the public get from that? Not very good. And no wonder sometimes the church becomes afraid of the power of the Catholic Church and would criticize it, as I said, if it says anything that's not politically correct. At the same time, the church can be the source of provocation. The church itself has been a source of scandal, as we know, in our own diocese, which is a problem from within. The church from within, through the leaders of the church, have brought upon us some darkness. And they too are part of this church. And the church isn't perfect. We're human beings, and so we suffer too. And they suffer. And it's sad that that happened. It's sad that that happened. They're too human sometimes. So Jesus then becomes the cornerstone, as we hear in the gospel today, he becomes the cornerstone of the vineyard. When the vineyard was torn down, he becomes the cornerstone on which builds the new vineyard, the new church, our church. And Jesus is the one that holds it together, despite our own humanity, despite the struggles that we face in our world. Jesus holds the church together and continues the mission through you and through me. And hopefully, as good stewards of this vineyard, we can bring things along and the church can be more and more credible and more light to all people.